Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is going to be my last, well, not the last ever, but this week, obviously it's Friday. I'm going to talk about prophecy again. And then next week, just so you guys know, next week I'm actually going to be gone Monday through Thursday. And so I think Pastor Nate will be here Tuesday, Wednesday. Pastor Salamat is going to preach on Thursday, and then I'll be back Friday morning. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go down to verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Then let's go down to verse 37. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Amen. Okay, so today, what I want to talk about mostly is, you know, in the context of how do we receive a prophetic word. So I want to try to keep it very practical for us, right? And so you're getting prayed for, you're getting ministered to, and you know, someone, you know, passes or you know, prays over you a word. How do you really receive that? How do you go about, you know, trying to learn something from it? Or, you know, I mean, how do we just operate in that? And the scriptures, interesting enough, really don't give us a lot of insight into that. You know, they don't really share, you know, how to receive something like this. And most probably because it was so common back then, right, that, it, you know, kind of people just took it for granted. In the very same way that in the scriptures, there's no, when we talk about like the crucifixion, you know, which is central to our Christian life, there's not much talk about exactly how it was done, you know, and most scholars believe in the same way because it was such common knowledge that anyone living in that time knew what it was about, and so therefore, you know, they didn't write much about it. And so since there's not much written here, I just want to share with you on a more very practical level, okay, of how this is kind of done in this way. And verse 26 tells us kind of what the New Testament church model or structure of ministry looked like, right? It's very different than what we have today, right? And now we have a lot more organization, not necessarily maybe the best thing. But when they came to church, you know, the people of God recognized that everyone had a contribution to make, okay? That's very clear to understand. You know, and that's supposed to be the life of the fullness of the church, you know, in a way that many of us, we, you know, we come to hear someone speak. You know, we come and to join along with someone else that's doing the music, right? But see, in New Testament church practice, you know, they believe that everyone came, you know, with something to offer one another. You know, and in that, I'm not bashing our current context. I'm not saying that. But, you know, what I'm saying is, in our current context, see, it would be different with a mindset that when you came to church, it wasn't necessarily as a receiving mode, right, that we came to give as well. And I'm just talking about giving the offering. You know, in other words, that in your daily life, you know, you were spending time with Jesus and you were receiving, you know, downloading from him, and you're, you know, just in his presence. And then as you gather together as the gathered community, you're basically spilling out right? You know, Paul talks about this being poured out as a drink offering. You know, and it's this pouring out, you know, that happens in our lives. And so when you come together in a gathered community, you know, I get close to David and I'm just pouring out over him. He's pouring out over me. Now, what generally happens in our modern day context is most people really don't do anything during the week. You know, they just live their life, you know, almost as if God doesn't exist. And then they come to church on Sunday and it's like gas station, you know. Well, I'm in Hong Kong, right? Petrol station, you know. You go in there and fill me up, right? And then, you know, because there are people that are spending time with the Lord, that there's this overflow in their life, you know, hopefully from the pastor, hopefully from the worship leaders, you know, and it's spilling over. And so we're getting filled up. But since we're not going through our week, you know, with the Lord being filled up, when we come together, there's no overflow. You know, and it's like our tanks are empty, and so you have this dilemma. But that wasn't the context in the New Testament church. They came together, and the apostles, they just believed that people had a song, right, that people had a hymn, you know, that someone had a teaching, that someone had a prophetic word, you know, there was something that everyone had to contribute to the body, to the work of the service. You know, and so he kind of gives them an idea. Well, in the church setting, because, you know, and so this was kind of an open meeting, you know, and we very humbly try to emulate some of that in the fact that, you know, we try to have an open time where people to share a word. Now, that could be very dangerous. You know what I mean? You never know what knucklehead's going to come up and say something. But I would like to rather err, you know, on the side, because, you know, if someone says something wrong, I could just easily get up and say, you know what? Sorry, but that wasn't really from the Lord, right? And we could deal with it, right? You know what I mean? It's not, you know, I'd rather err on that, you know, than on not giving God the opportunity to speak to us. I know, I mean, it's dangerous. You don't know. I get nervous every Sunday, you know. I'm thinking, well, who's going to go up there? What are they going to say, right? And it's just a bit, but then, you know, it's okay because, you know, I mean, because we have, you know, well, hopefully I have a relationship with people, you know, at church, through the church, and we could pastor through these things, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? You know, someone's feelings might get hurt, but that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, they could practice forgiveness. You know, they could forgive me and all these other things. So I don't necessarily stress out too much about that, but, you know, there's some kind of specific order. And so, you know, these guys come, and so what's happening in the Corinthian church is that you know, because people had something to offer, they would all share in something, and sometimes it wasn't from the Lord. You know, sometimes it was just their own feelings. And, you know, and honestly, some people that have come up, you know, on Sunday, I don't think it really was from the Lord, you know, and it definitely was not a prophetic word, right? They were just, you know, sharing something. And then, is there anything wrong with that? No, not really, you know what I mean? As long as it wasn't unbiblical, right? So I could live with that, you know, until one day when God refines this so much that people come and share, you know, a real live, you know, prophetic word from the Lord. And things, and so, you know, that doesn't bother me all that much, you know, but in the Corinthian church, it was kind of getting crazy, you know, spirituality was really off the cuff, and these guys were coming in, and it was not being done in an orderly fashion, and so Paul is just very basically trying to give them a parameter, you know, by which this happens. You know, I always heard this illustration of, you know, a wild river, right? A wild river, you know, even though it's wild and it's fierce and all these things, if it doesn't have a bank, you know what I mean? In other words, if there is not a route, you know, by which the river can run, it doesn't go very long. Because what happens is, even though river is wild and powerful, it will always spill over and it will dissipate, right? And it will become less and less powerful till eventually it runs out into a little brook. You know, but if you look at all the rivers of the world that still exist and are powerful, right, there are banks along the river that contain the flowing of the river. That's precisely what Paul is doing here, right? He recognizes there's power and there's force, you know, and there's, you know, all these things happening in the spirit, and he's just providing these banks so that the river can run freely, the river can run strong, you know, and some people might say, oh, that's quenching the spirit. That's not quenching the spirit. You know, it's actually creating long life, you know, in the body. And he says here, you know, that if you speak in a tongue, you know, take turns. You know, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn and let them interpret. In other words, like in a service, you know, like don't go crazy, right? We don't want to sit there and listen to 80, you know, prophecies, you know. And he says, you know, in a service, most two or three. You know, that's good enough. And then one at a time, right? Because they don't want chaos to happen. And so he continues on in this teaching, you know, and he says, and that there's, especially in the church, if there's no interpreter, right, then let that person keep silent in the church. Now, the context, what he means here, he's not saying that don't speak in tongues in church, right? What he's saying is when you speak in tongues and it's a message for the church, done for that, right, then let make sure someone interprets. Otherwise, you're just saying gibberish. You know what I mean? Because remember, tongues is a gift that edifies ourselves. You know, it's to build ourselves up. And so, you know, so then basically you just pumped yourself, you built yourself up, but it did nothing for anybody else. So he's saying in the context of the church service, when you speak and pray in tongues, make sure that there's an interpreter that's there. You know, and so right, again, understanding context. And then he says, and then, you know, let two or three prophets speak. In other words, right, not so many people, right, just a few. And let the others pass judgment. Now, the word others actually more refers to let other prophets pass judgment. You know, if you look it up in the original context. You know, but if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For all can prophesy one by one, so that all may learn, all may be exhorted, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. Now, I'm going to talk about that just a little bit, right? Just in the context. So, in this context, how do you receive a prophetic word, right? Listen very carefully. This is very practical. When you receive a prophecy, right, don't just go crazy with it, okay? You know, don't just be like, oh, okay, you know, I get this. You know, let the prophets, the spirit of the prophet is the subject under the prophets. In other words, in a certain way in our life, when someone shares a prophetic word with you, it should really be a confirmation of what God is already speaking to you. Right? You know, you're receiving prophetic, you know, message from the Lord already, and the ministry of the prophets is that they confirm what God is already saying to you. Now, there may be times where you receive a word and it's a very new message, right? Don't go crazy with it. Just pray about it and let God speak to you on that matter. You know what I mean? What is happening in the modern church these days is that people are so, you know, not in tune with God. You know, or they're just so lazy to spend time with the Lord or that way. Or it could be many other reasons, right? They'd be so insecure, they don't know if you're hearing from the Lord. And it becomes they're going to somebody else for that message, right? When the message is actually from the Lord. You know, and you know, and God speaks through a person. We understand that, but it should be a confirming word in our life, right? And you gotta make sure that that's really the case. You know, because you can get really messed up if it's not. You know, I mean, I've unfortunately, you know, and also make sure it's biblical, right? I mean, that goes without saying. You know, I've had some really interesting episodes in my life, you know, where when particularly when I was single, you know, that there were all these, you know, these crazy girls, you know, that would come because, you know, Korean, right? Everyone likes, you know, not every, but, you know, there's a lot of really weird Korean girls that like to marry pastors, you know. And stuff, and so, you know, I swear, they come up to me and says, God told me that you're going to be my husband. Now, if I'm just going to say, okay, right? Of course not. You know, well, God didn't speak to me about this issue at all. You know, and then, you know, and you got to be careful that you don't, when you're receiving word, that you don't have an agenda. You know what I mean? You know, and so, you know, and then like, so in this one particular case, so this person, you know, I thought, okay, is done with or whatnot, you know. She comes back a few months later, you know, and I thought she was going to apologize to me, and she says, "No, actually, this is the real deal, you know." And I've talked to these other prophets, you know, and they told me that you're going to be my husband, you know. And then the word on top of that is, and if you don't, and if you're not, right, then God's going to take away your ministry, right? And I was like, dude, I got pissed off, man. You know, I mean, I think I banged on the table and says, you'll not manipulate me, you know, you Jezebel, right? I didn't say that. I should have said that, right? But I didn't, you know. But I got really upset because, see, this person had an agenda, you know, and so they were fishing for that word, right? I know this one particular woman that prayed for her, and I don't think she said what she said, you know, or what she thought, right? I mean, I know her. I don't think she, if she did, then man, she loses much of my respect and things. And so, you know, and so we could be fishing for stuff, and don't do that. When you come, don't have an agenda, right? I mean, obviously, if there's something going on in your life and you really want to hear from the Lord, right? You know, I mean, there's a way where there's a hunger there. And I understand that, right? So I'm not saying don't come with any hunger, but don't interpret the word according to your agenda. That sounds a little better, right? You know, that makes it more clear. Don't interpret the word according to your agenda. You know, like you really, really want to get married or something, or you're really praying about a particular thing, and anything they say, you're just going to interpret. You know, it could be totally from left field, but you're going to interpret it to your agenda. Don't do that. You may have an agenda. You may have a hunger, but don't let that influence the word that's coming, right? Ask God for the interpretation, you know, or ask the guy who prayed for you or the woman who prayed for you for that interpretation. You know, and so when you receive, right, it's, you know, don't bring your agenda, don't interpret your agenda. Make sure the word that's being prayed over you is biblical, right? And make sure that it's a confirming word. And so let's say you get something and it's very new, right? Ask God to confirm it. You know, this is something that's very common. You know, there have been a lot of times for me personally, right, over a season of my life when I feel like God really wants to get my attention, you know, someone will pray for me and they'll say something. Next week I get prayed over by somebody and they'll say the same exact thing. And a month later I get prayed. And it's just like, you know, if you get the same message coming again and again and again and again, you can pretty be sure that this is the Lord really speaking to you, right? And just really getting I've had this happen a few times in my life where I was not really unaware, and I just, you know, Sean, you know, a good friend of mine prayed over me, you know, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. Then, you know, a few days later, I get prayed over by somebody else, and, you know, and then a week later, I get prayed over by this other really, you know, kind of well-known prophetic voice, you know, and you just feel like, well, God, are you trying to tell me something? You know, and I had an inkling of it, but, you know, I just felt like it was just too big for me, and so I just kind of didn't think about it, and God had to just keep bringing these words into my life, you know, to bring about, you know, and really just to grab my attention so I could continue to pray, you know. And so, you know, let's be very practical, you know, about these things. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Right, you know, the prophetic ministry is an incredibly beautiful ministry. Yeah, it's got its faults. It's not perfect, right? Because you're still dealing with human beings, you know, and stuff. And no matter how spiritual they are or whatnot, and well, let me share this, right? Just an add-on. Don't, you know, a lot of times what we do in the church, a lot of times when someone is really gifted, right, we automatically assume that they're mature. I want to tell you, that's two totally different things. Okay. Gifting is gifting. Remember, it's grace, right? You know, it's chariz, right? Maturity is something totally different, right? And when I was a younger Christian, you know, especially getting into the charismatic movement, yeah, there were some people that I really looked up to, you know? And then when I got to know them a little better, I feel like, wow, this guy's a jerk. You know, I mean, I was like, God, you know, what's wrong with this guy? And things, and I realized that, you know, gifting is gifting and maturity is maturity. Right now, if your maturity doesn't catch up to your gifting, the scope of your ministry will become diminished as you grow older. And thus, we have something in the Bible that talks about that people don't finish well, right? And that's something that happens, right? And things, and so don't confuse it too, right? Don't assume that because someone is so gifted that they're automatically mature in Christ as well. You know, gifting comes from the Lord. Maturity is something that we work on ourselves, okay? So that's just an extra freebie for you guys in this way. And so remember, you know, God speaks, you know, sit there and you know, the word comes, pass judgment on it. You know, in other words, assess it through the lens of the scriptures, assess it through your own experience, you know, in other words, the confirming word, you know, that God's already spoken to you about this or whatnot. And you know, and if you are, you know, how to say, if you are like don't know or confused, don't worry. It's not like God's just going to give you one shot. I mean, is this the God of the Bible? The God of the one shot, you know? It's like, all right, this is it. You got one shot, and that's all you got, Kenny. You know, you missed this time, forget it, right? The God of the Scriptures is the redeeming God that gives so many chances, right? He's the God of the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chance, right? And stuff. And so you may not, you know, you got the word, you may not quite understand it. Just wait, right? Somewhere along the journey, and probably very soon, someone else is going to come and confirm that word in your life as well. Right, you know, and you'll see that this is a very typical pattern in our lives. All right, does that make sense? All right, so let's close our eyes and. I'm not going to say this on the mic because I don't want people to get but if you're here today, I felt like that when I woke up this morning, you know, and if you're here, we actually have a special lunch meeting today with Chuck and his team, and it was mostly for people that are leading in ministries, you know, not in a ministry, but leading ministries. But if you're here today, you're welcome to come. I just felt like I should invite you, right, and stuff, and so there's actually only about three of you. So it's at 12 o'clock here. You know, we have some food. You know, welcome to come. Don't put it in people's faces that didn't show up, right? You know, and stuff. So just think of it as just a gift from the Lord in that way, okay? So it's at 12 o'clock. It's here in the sanctuary, you know. And they're going to line up and just going to pray and prophesy over us and all that good stuff, right? So 12 o'clock, right? Don't be late, okay?
So let's close our eyes and let's just meditate on the Lord. And even as we heard last night about being a prophetic church, let's pray that we would have incredible wisdom in how we administer prophecy in the prophetic. Right? Notice, you know, the Corinthian church, with all of its wildness, they never really got rebuked about the gifts. Did you notice that? They never really got rebuked. They got taught. That's how God operates. And so let's just pray. Let's pray, right, that in our lives that we'd be prophetic people, that we'd hear from the Lord. Right, my sheep hear my voice. We're just dumb sheep. We need to hear His voice. And God also speaks through other people. Let's make sure that is also flows through us. And this morning in particular, I just want to pray for you guys that are here in our listening audience. Right, that you'd have many, many opportunities of just receiving the prophetic in our lives. And as Jisun leads us in a song, just meditate on that.
You're calling me to lay aside. You're calling me to lay aside the worries of my day, to quiet down my busy mind and find a hiding place. Worthy, you are worthy. I open up my heart. I open Spirit worship yours. I open up my mouth and let a song of praise come forth. Worthy, you are worthy. Of a childlike faith and of my honest praise.
Let's pray. Huh? Let's pray for ourselves, and let's pray for our church, our community. And let's ask the Lord that He would really teach us to be a prophetic church, to be a prophetic people, that we'd be people that just really are open to His voice. And just, you know, the key there is willing to obey. Right? God will speak to those who are willing to obey. Right? Let's just pray for that in our lives. Let's pray for this afternoon meeting and this meeting tonight over at Island ECC. Let's just pray for God's presence to come and pray for a real powerful time of anointing and just the hand and the touch of Jesus would come over all the people that come from all over Hong Kong. Let it be a really great gathering for this city. Let's pray. Thank you.
Let's pray over this weekend before the Lord. Let's ask God to, of course, bless our meetings today. Pray for on Saturday. Pray for the youth group that's meeting. Pray for the prayer team that's meeting together to pray. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be upon us during that time. Let's pray for our Sunday services that the Lord would just really have His way with us. And in the 10 and the 2, pray for Noah's Ark and the kids and all the teachers that would really just learn to walk with the Lord Jesus. We have a steering committee meeting on that Sunday and also a board meeting that night. So it's really a busy Sunday. And so let's just ask God to just cover each of those meetings with our key leaders. And then Monday, let's pray for Cascade and our ministry on Monday nights. And let's just lift up our gathering times throughout this weekend before the Lord, that people's lives will be transformed as well as the Lord Jesus will be glorified. Now let's pray. Let's pray for our staff for this weekend. And actually, Pastor Sam Kim is going on his annual leave on Sunday. Let's pray for him and his whole family as they go back to California. I'm going on a short leave Monday through Thursday. I kind of got rebuked by my doctor because I'm still not fully recovered from my surgery that I had 2 months ago. And he thinks it's because I'm not getting enough rest. And so Lisa and I decided to just go away. We're just going to Macau, right? She can't fly anywhere, so... kids are off school, so we're just going for a few days. And so just pray for a restful time. Pastor Nate is actually leaving next week as well for his... Is it your grandfather's birthday? Your grandmother's birthday. So he'll be in Korea next weekend. And so pray for Kenny, who will be manning the shop, you know, next week. And Sophia is also gone to Shanghai next week as well. So, by the way, I don't know if you... Well, we'll announce it later, but Sophia joined our staff. So I don't know if you guys knew that. And so let's just cover. And Pastor Salamat, you're staying here, right, next week? Not going anywhere? Okay. So Pastor Salamat is here. Let's pray for him and his family and just for fruitful times in ministry. And pray, you know, that we'd be committed to the Lord, obviously committed to His church, and especially committed to our families, and that we would do all things well. All right, let's pray. Lord, we bless You, God. We thank You, Lord, for just the exciting things that, God, that we had confirmed in our lives last night, God. And we look forward to today and throughout this weekend, Father. Just the grace of God is just going to come upon us, Lord. And we are just so excited for what You're about to do, God. Lord, we lift up a prayer for Stuart and Nellie, who are, God, getting married tomorrow. I can't believe they're getting married tomorrow, God. And so we just pray for Your grace upon them, God, throughout the ceremony that would glorify You, Lord God. And so watch over us this weekend, Father God. Help us to bring glory to Your Son, Jesus, God, and transform us, God, as we do that. We love You so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Oh, I forgot. Pray for Nellie and Stuart. Huh? They're getting married tomorrow in Phuket. So I'm flying out early tomorrow morning. So just keep those guys in prayer as well.